Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Thanks to everyone who supports Daily Tech News Show directly. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Friday, September 21st, 2018. In a car in Los Angeles, I'm Tom Merritt.
And from the Zudio, I am Sarah Lane.
And from Sailor Snub's apartment, I'm Shannon Morse. I almost said Sailor Snub's.
From a bedroom in Cleveland, I'm your artist in residence, Len Peralta.
And from my fringe network on the edge of this LA County empire, it's me, Roger, the producer.
Hi, it's me.
Hello.
Audio people may not notice any difference because I'm using the same equipment, but I am using it in my parked car in my garage as the movers unexpectedly are able to move me early. So I had to pack up the studio early.
Well, we hope you are well ventilated, Tom, but you sound great.
I am. I am both well ventilated and hopefully sounding great.
All right. Well, to kick us off, let's start with a few tech things you should know. Shannon, take it away.
Instagram may be testing a way to reshare posts from other accounts to your own feed. The Verge reported the news based on screenshot and information from a source. Instagram, of course, denied the test, but the two screenshots of reshared posts include a business account offering merchandise for sale, which could point to the limiting of resharing posts to businesses.
Apple customers in Singapore waiting in line for new iPhones, of course, the XS and the XS Max, received free power banks from Huawei. Yes, the packaging for the extra battery said, here's a power bank. You'll need it. Courtesy of Huawei. Huawei's flagship phone, the P2 Pro, has a battery capacity of 4,000 milliamps, whereas the battery capacities for the X are the XS. Darn it, I knew I'd say that eventually. The XS and XS Max are 2658 milliamps and 3174 milliamps, respectively.
You're not the only person saying that wrong. Also, shots fired, Huawei. Wow. Skype calling support is coming to Alexa users later this year to allow outgoing Skype voice and video calls. Accept incoming Skype calls and make Skype out calls to most phone numbers around the world, according to Microsoft, which also says it's working to reposition Cortana from an assistant to an assistant's aide. On August 15th, Microsoft and Amazon opened up integration between Cortana and Alexa to the public in the U.S.
All right, let's talk about a few more things. Top stories this week. This one's interesting. Friday, the live stream platform Twitch was no longer available in the iOS App Store if you were in China, rather. Twitch confirmed to Polygon it was aware of the removal, but didn't really have much to say otherwise. But for months in China, government regulators have been denying approval for various video games. At least one popular game, Monster Hunter World, had its license revoked days after launch. In an official statement translated by the Washington Post and other outlets, Chinese regulators said they wanted to protect teenagers' eyesight. Although some reports point to the government seeking to indeed crack down more specifically on gambling and addiction. Although eyesight is probably, you could throw that in there too.
Yeah, no, this is interesting. There's a lot of honesty in protecting the teenager's health, probably not necessarily eyesight, although maybe, with the ability to want to control video games. And so I think the knee-jerk reaction in the West will be, oh, it's more Chinese censorship and control. I'm sure that has something to do with it. But there is something beyond what's best for China in the purest, greediest sense, which is that if they sell a lot of video games, they've been trying to get video game companies to come into China. So I think this is a little more of a complex issue than people might think. And unfortunately, Twitch got caught in the business of being in the wrong content. Otherwise, I was most surprised by this story that Twitch was actually streaming in China before this.
I'm one of those Westerners who automatically is very skeptical about it because it does seem like censorship. I mean, just given the history of everything that we've heard about being banned from the country and from my friends who have lived over in China and hearing about their experiences. So it does, for me, from my standpoint, it does seem like that. However, you're right about Twitch. I mean, I'm very surprised that they were streaming there in the first place, just because of, you know, what kind of content they've had out there.
It's in many ways, it's a little of column A and a little of column B. Yes, yeah. There is definitely a concern, especially with a very paternalistic, if you could, a very generous assumption, government on the youth of the country. But also, I think it's a proactive measure that they want to possibly control something before it spins out of hand, where they can no longer effectively exert enough control over it. So they're just like, well, it's getting very popular. We might as well put the heavy hand of the state down while we can before it gets too far, and we will have less of the ability to control it.
Just because they're paranoid doesn't mean they aren't out to get you.
I also love the idea of if something is getting too popular and it's concerning regulators in China or anywhere, saying, well, you know what we're concerned about? The eyesight of teens.
I mean, yeah,
of all of the things,
sounds crazy. On the other hand, it also is totally.
But if you're concerned with the eyesight of teens, then you would limit internet use.
Then they do. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of fits the Chinese. The if you take, like, forget censorship, forget controlling political speech, a lot of the regulations that China does are like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're sort of like, well, this is best for you.
We care about your eyes. And I care about everyone's eyes as well. Sure. But it seems like, yes, gambling addiction, but perhaps, yeah, something a little bit more censorship-based might be at play here.
Well, changing the speed a little bit, we got some news from Facebook. Facebook plans to unveil its Portal video chat device next week, sources tell Cheddar. The device is reportedly, like Amazon Echo Show, available in two screen sizes and will sell for $300 to $400. Facebook originally planned to announce Portal at its annual F8 developer conference back in May. Portal may feature a privacy shutter that can cover the device's wide-angle video camera, which uses artificial intelligence to recognize people in the frame and follow them as they move throughout the room. Portal is also said to feature integration with Amazon's voice assistant and let users play music, watch videos, see cooking recipes, and get news briefs. Now, all of these different features that they are including, down to and including that shutter, that physical shutter, have, from a reviewer's standpoint, like I review tons of stuff on Tech Thing, I've been seeing a lot more of this in devices like the Amazon devices and the Google devices and even security webcams at home that follow you around the room. So it seems like they're taking all of these awesome features that are currently available and sticking them all under the Facebook brand to make their own device. And it's probably a profitable idea, especially for people who, you know, are stuck in the Facebook world and never leave it, especially if they're like chatting with other people on Facebook Messenger and stuff like that.
Now, Shannon, I'm going to guess that your team covered the camera on laptops.
Oh, yes, I am.
Right. Yeah.
I
would assume of you.
Even on my phone, I cover that all the time.
Okay. So the idea of, because when I read that, I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool feature, right? You know, for people who are paranoid. But how much would you trust Facebook to be able to cover the shutter just because you tell the company that you're moving around the room? And I'm not saying that they're going to be monitoring people without their knowledge, but there's
always a possibility.
Really paranoid about that, you'd still probably want to cover it in some other way yourself.
Yeah, there's always a possibility. Like, I'm sure that my phone is very secure given that it's straight from Google and I get all the security updates immediately, but there's always a possibility that I might accidentally download an app that is vulnerable or something like that, and then that would give access to my camera. So I highly suggest a physical privacy shutter for any devices that you're using.
Yeah. Well, and everyone who's... Oh, go ahead, Tom.
No, I was just going to say, and one that's under your control, not anybody else's. Otherwise, exactly. What's the point?
Before F8 this year, this device was rumored, and apparently plans at least to announce it with great fanfare were shelved because Facebook was currently embroiled in a big data privacy crisis, or at least something that they had to iron out a little bit more. And this device, whether or not it was ready to be unveiled at the time, but it was rumored to be, was kind of shelved. I'm still going to be surprised if Facebook has a physical device that is a runaway hit. We've seen this before. The company hasn't had, besides various apps, anything that has really caught on besides its social network. And of course, the offshoot social networks, Instagram and WhatsApp and other stuff that it's bought. So I don't know. I mean, I have to see it to believe it, but I remain skeptical.
Interesting that they're partnering with Amazon too, if that ends up to be the case. Very interesting.
Exactly. Well, speaking of social networks, Twitter started informing some users on Friday that a bug sent private direct messages to third-party developers who were not authorized to receive them. It's my worst nightmare. People reading my DMs. The issue has persisted since May of 2017, apparently, but was resolved immediately upon discovering it, said Twitter's message, which was posted on Twitter by a Mashable reporter. So Twitter was talking to some news outlets and the news got out. Quote, our investigation into this issue is ongoing, but presently we have no reason to believe that any data sent to unauthorized developers was misused, said Twitter. The company also said the bug affected less than 1% of its 335 million users. Twitter saying, well, we have no reason to believe that anybody would want this information is not good enough.
Still, there's always an issue.
They should probably have talked about it, in less than a year after it was first reported to be happening.
When did they discover it, though?
Well, they discovered it in May of 2017.
No, they discovered
it. The issue started in May 2017.
Yeah, they discovered it September 10th of this year.
Okay.
Oh,
And it looks like they resolved it pretty quickly afterwards, which is good that they fixed it pretty quickly afterwards. But how did none of these developers ever report it for the year that it was ongoing? Unless they
probably because they were like, yay, we're getting information that no one was reading.
Or they may not have realized it was in there. It may have been being sent to a database and it was just wallowing away because they didn't know they were getting it because they weren't supposed to.
The problem with Twitter DMs is that they are not encrypted. So if anybody is going to see your DMs, anybody can see those DMs. So I highly suggest to everybody out there listening, if you do use Twitter DMs to talk to people, don't send over private information that you wouldn't necessarily want to be shared.
Like,
anybody
I don't know.
Can screenshot those.
Don't send OMG Chad your home address over Twitter DM through text message and accidentally post it to Twitter publicly.
Would be so weird if anybody...
Like, that would be a really dumb thing to do, and something you'd only admit the day you're moving out of that house.
Yeah, that's a bad idea, Tom. Well, moving on, starting today, PlayStation Now will now let you subscribers download PS4 and PS2 games on the service. Almost all PS4 games in the service, like God of War 3 Remastered, NBA 2K16, and Until Dawn will be downloadable, as well as PlayStation Now lineup of classic PS2 games remastered for PS4. The PS4 will still need to connect to the internet every few days to verify the user's PlayStation Now account. The reason why this is really cool and pretty exciting for PlayStation users, it's only going to be available currently on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 4 Pro, I believe. But they were having issues and a lot of feedback, negative feedback, that people would experience lag whenever they were trying to stream games. So now that you can download them, that's the really important part. You can download them straight to your console and you can play them as much as you want, which is absolutely wonderful. You don't have to worry about audio or video sync issues. You don't have to worry about lag in your button mashes, nothing like that.
And what's really kind of unsaid here is a tacit admission that game streaming still isn't quite all the way there yet. Mm. Now, people can put up with lag in video, right? You can maybe miss a syllable or a consonant or a word. But like if you're playing a very fast, intensive, you know, very twitchable game, you're going to want as much of the fidelity as you can possibly get, because, you know, that's the difference between winning or losing, depending on what you play. And it's not unlike what Xbox already has with Xbox games, where you basically subscribe to a game service. You don't need Xbox Gold as a subscription. You can just pay the month.
Well, PlayStation has a similar thing with PlayStation Plus too.
Well, this is the thing. It's integrating. No, this is PlayStation Plus allows you to get a free downloadable game, but this is essentially a catalog all at once instead of just being piecemeal.
No, I'm comparing the Xbox thing to the PlayStation thing.
Well, no. Well, the Xbox has an entire catalog that you can play. So if you pay the subscription,
there's a wider choice.
Yes.
The new PlayStation Now functionality reminds me of downloading a movie from Netflix, right? It's like, hey, you got the whole catalog that's streaming, but now you can watch it offline. Here you can play the video game offline.
Exactly.
BuzzFeed News reports that the UK government wants to create new internet regulation that would make tech companies liable for content published on their platforms and have the power to sanction companies that fail to take down illegal material and hate speech if it's within longer than the hours that the internet or the UK regulators want to determine. UK regulators are also looking at implementing age verifications for users of Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The new proposals are still in the development stage and are due to be put out for consultation later this year. A spokesperson for the government confirmed it is considering all options, including a regulatory committee in general.
I'm not against the idea of having an institution set up to handle how things were complaints for the internet, basically, right? I think that's needed in the United States as well. The FCC is not the right place for it. There should be an institution that is knowledgeable about the internet. It should do as little as possible, I think. It should only interfere when absolutely necessary. But I'm sort of torn on it. On the one hand, you're going to have the government handle complaints about the internet one way or the other and have to regulate it one way or the other. So it's the right idea to set up something that is meant for the internet, not try to repurpose something meant for television or something else. But the way they're talking about it here also sounds like it's way too intrusive, which is always the danger in setting up a regulatory agency.
I'm all for, and I'm kind of weird being in the hacker, community, but I'm a little weird about my feels towards regulations. In some senses, they're a good thing. I like some regulations from the governments. I think that it's generally a positive effect. However, sometimes they are too heavy-handed, and I start considering and looking at like the own company that I run with Hack5. Would this affect like our online forum where users can post comments, they can post their own posts if they want to and people can reply to them, they can post images and links and stuff like that. Would this affect our community? Because if we were in the UK and we only had a few hours to take something down and nobody took something down, would they regulate us under this as well? Given that, we're a small team of, 4 or 5 people, that would be very, very hard to do. But when you look at this from a broader perspective of bigger companies, it sounds like a good idea. Yeah, regulate them more, make sure that they don't have a bunch of, hate speech on there and stuff like that.
I think my main question of something like this is, okay, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. And yes, having a group of people who are monitoring social networks for the greater good of the public of various countries and the human life in general. Great. That sounds great in theory. Who are those people? What are their credentials? Are they, you know, do they work for the government already? Not sure that that is a requirement really at this point in our day and age. You know, who are the people who should be shaping these sorts of laws and regulations? And how do current governments evolve really and expand to make sure that the laws that are being passed actually are in the best interest of the people that they represent? Oh,
such a good question. And to me, such a missed opportunity to not look at the way the internet governs itself already and try to borrow from that. You know, why not create an independent group of experts that are overseen by the government, and that's your regulatory agency? I think you could actually get people excited about it if you included the existing internet governance people in our country governance for the internet and worked with the government, rather than what it seems like the UK is doing and what generally you hear, which is, let's just take what we do for other things and do it again for the internet.
Well, we look forward to everyone's feedback on this. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com. I'm sure we'll be talking about this issue more and more as we move forward into, I don't know, whatever our new modern world is. To get all the tech headlines, though, each day in about 5 minutes or less, subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. It's the perfect companion to our very show here. All right, let's get into our main discussion story. Shannon, I know that this was actually suggested by you, so I'll go ahead and set it up and then I'll get your thoughts. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or the NHTSA, has given the Tesla Model 3 5-star ratings in every single category. Those categories include overall front, overall side, side barrier, side pull, and rollover categories. Sounds good, right? Tesla's Model S and Model X both received 5-star ratings in the past. However, not everybody has given Tesla such high marks. The Model 3 got docked by Consumer Reports for a long 60 to 100, I believe, miles per hour braking distance.
No, it's 60 to 0 because it's braking.
Oh, 60 to 0,
how fast
of course.
Slow down. Yeah.
Braking, thank you, Tom. Which Tesla initially countered, saying, well, no, we have our own tests and we've consistently demonstrated 133-foot braking distance in the past. Then Tesla promised a firmware revision to address the problem. More or less sort of saying, okay, there was a little bit of a problem. And then Consumer Reports retested the car and chose to issue a recommendation. But Tesla is under quite a bit of scrutiny for all sorts of things. Now, not all of it has to do with braking or how good the Model 3 is. But Shannon, how much do you think that CEO Elon Musk, the company in general, and the hardware, firmware promises of the car have to do with what Tesla is going to be looking like in the future?
That's a good question. Tesla, for a long time now, they've been experiencing a history of negative feedback from crashes that they have experienced. They've had people who have passed away. However, who was at fault is still up for debate, depending on the case that we look at. So they've had a lot of those kind of issues. And every time, we have noticed a lot of pushback from Elon Musk himself, especially on Twitter, for example, where he says that, you know, it's not our fault. This is not our fault completely. But with the NHTSA giving them out a 5-star rating in all of the different categories, which is not, it's not super popular that they always do that. It's somewhat rare that they give out 5 stars in all of the different categories. So that's a really good positive note to add. I am curious though, if, you know, things like firmware hacks or the firmware security or things like that could be affected, that would end up lowering that rating in the future if some kind of vulnerabilities were set in place. And given that this car is so, you know, run by computers so much, they really need to consider that in their ratings. And I'm not sure if the NHTSA does that currently, or if they just straight up look at, you know, the sides and the front bumpers and the way that it manages safety based on their history of tests, not testing anything that has to do with the computer itself.
Yeah, the NHTSA is saying, based on the standard safety test for all cars, which I have not looked in to find out the last time when they're updated, but I will guess are not updated as fast as technology is improved for things like the Tesla, says, you know, it, let's say it's as safe as a car from 2008, right? Like, that's not bad. What Consumer Reports is saying is, well, but those NHTSA safety tests are not as great as what, you know, what we would like to do, because we're going to go above and beyond. Basically, we're going to test things that they don't. That's what it sounds like to me.
That's why I really appreciated Consumer Reports reporting on this and how they tested it to find things that were involved outside of what the NHTSA was looking for with their five-star testing. And the fact that Tesla did come back and notably did update it with a firmware update, mm-hmm. which is a very positive.
Yeah, that's good.
That we should say, you know, hey, good job on you, Tesla, for doing that. The fact that they did that does mean that they are listening. So I appreciate that they went back and did this after Consumer Reports. However, I don't think that they should have had to do it after somebody reported with negative feedback. This should have been something that was available from the start.
I also wonder how much, and again, this is, you know, just kind of throwing it out there, how much any CEO, anybody in charge of a hugely influential and successful in certain ways companies, you know, should you know, whose feet should be held to the fire for kind of being weird. Elon Musk he says and does some strange things, but some of it is not inconsequential. Tesla is under investigation by the Justice Department. We've talked about this on a previous episode of DTNS. Over statements that Elon Musk made that criminal probe investigators are saying, well, we might have a securities issue, because he had said that he was contemplating taking Tesla private, had funding secured for the deal, and then that sort of went away, and there are stock prices involved. And, you know, however that shakes out, it's something that has raised some eyebrows. Elon Musk was also on a recent episode of the Joe Rogan Show. For anybody who watches that, you've probably already seen this. Apparently smoking marijuana, which is legal in the state of California where the show was recorded, but it does tend to put a spotlight on a person rather than a company making technological innovations. And how much does that take away from what Tesla could be doing if we weren't all focused on what Elon Musk was doing?
Yeah, I tend to say, look, if it actually materially impacts things, like disclosing that you might take the company private on Twitter in a way that could manipulate the stock price, yeah, you should investigate that. Be careful. Or if you're saying things about people that could lead to lawsuits, that could end up costing time and money to the founder, that's worth noting. Smoking on the Joe Rogan Show, it's like that's a personal decision on whether you want to support somebody who does that. I don't think that materially impacts the company in any way, though.
Well, I don't either, but I'd love to know who would be put off by this in the sense that they
would not support Tesla. Yeah, for sure.
Well, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. Whether you smoke weed or not, we love you. Submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. Hey, guys, it's Friday.
Facebook.com/birthday as me, so I can't not like him somewhat.
Oh, well, you know, happy birthday to you both next year. I know you both celebrated it recently. We're also on Facebook. If you want to hang out with us on Facebook, great. Facebook.com/groups/Daily Tech News Show is where to hang out with us there as well. All right. So, Shannon, I don't know how much you followed Amazon's hardware announcements yesterday. I probably couldn't. But there were about 900 of them. And got a lot of feedback.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America N.A. Copyright 2024.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
We tried to cover it in as much detail as we could yesterday, which was quite an effort, actually. Colin had some thoughts on Echo Auto in specifically. Colin says, I suspect a lot of AVS users use a different assistant on their phone in the car, and they want to provide a way to do everything within their ecosystem that they already have. This could step into a neat unifying position between a variety of Bluetooth and aux, auxiliary, devices in a car. I have a Bluetooth for phone calls, and then I use the phone's aux jack for music so that the phone can understand how to switch back and forth. A single device that could route everything and also act as a voice assistant and control, no brainer for me. Might not be as useful in more modern cars. I have a 2012 model, and it probably won't have a long life as a product category, but it gets Amazon into the car space today without having to build a whole ecosystem like Android Auto or CarPlay.
Well, I'm able to activate both Google Assistant and Siri just with my voice, but that is because I have more recent Android and iOS phones. So maybe that's why. I guess if you have an older phone, this is still a concern for you. So, okay, there's a segment of the audience right there. I do love the idea of seeing it as a router for your car that just simplifies things. That does make it make a little more sense to me. I'm still skeptical that I need it.
Yeah, so far I'm in the same boat. I've never needed a voice assistant in my car. My Android phone just connects automatically to the Ford operating system, and I'm able to make calls and do text via voice, which is really nice. And I can, you know, play music over Bluetooth, and that's really all I need in a car, because anything else I feel like would be a little bit too much distraction for me.
Yeah.
With that said, though, there's been a lot of Echo devices that have come out. For example, Anker's home subcategory, I forget the name that they go under, but Anker came out with a device that you could plug into your cigarette lighter port, and it would connect to the Amazon Echo, which is a really cool little feature.
I think that's the thing, right? There's so many cool ODB ports things out there. I'm disappointed this doesn't do that.
Yeah, exactly. So not sure I would use it. I'm probably not the market for it. Somebody probably is.
Well, I think I'm going to get one of those Amazon clocks. I just am.
The clock does look cool.
I like the way it looks. Yeah. I don't even care if it has different colors. But anyway, as these hardware, you know, and a lot of the stuff is, some of it's rolling out now, some of it's before the holidays. So I think we'll have a lot of feedback on how people feel on the various hardware announcements, of which there were many. If you missed them, check out our show from yesterday. But now let's check in with Len Peralta, who's been busy illustrating lots of stuff we've been talking on the show. Len?
Yes. So I know you just got your new iPhone.
True story. I did.
Yeah, you did. I think it's getting a little bit too wild as far as the size of these things are going. And where does it stop? So I think the next iPhone announcement is going to be something like this, which is, I'm calling it the iPhone X Big Ass Redonkulous. Where this is going is it's pretty much going to take over your life, everybody.
You're just
a new
mad
generation of whatever. Yeah,
you're just mad that they stole your son's name for the iPhone.
That's right. Everybody's going to be calling their phone Max, and nobody knows I had that idea first. So the image is of a little guy who is holding up a enormous, redonkulous, big ass phone. So
well, I will say, as somebody who just hours before our recording time got her new Macs, I will say it doesn't seem any more big ass than my 7 plus, but it is heavier. So it's ridiculous in a different way.
Yes, it's going in this direction. So,
right, yeah.
So yeah,
weapon-wise, it's actually more useful.
If you want to get this, you go to lenperaltastore.com. It's right there. You can download it as a digital print. You can also go, if you back me at Patreon, patreon.com/Len, you can get these all, everything I draw every single week. You get these. So there you go.
Well, thank you, Len. Len Peralta drawing with us most Fridays, and we love him for it. Thanks also to Shannon Morris with us most Fridays, and we love you for it too. Shannon, what's been going on?
Love you guys too. At Snubs is me on Twitter, SNUBS. But if you're interested in my shows, techthing.com, TEKthing.com is where we review all the tech things. And we just talked about the new NVIDIA RTX 2080 graphics cards shipping this week. So we started getting some benchmarks for those. And my other show is Threatwire, which you can check out over at hack5.org. Most recently, I did an episode about cold boot attacks coming back from way back in the early 2000s. And I definitely tried to get punny with my photo for the thumbnail because RAM is what is attacked with a cold boot attack.
Nice. I love it. Two Rams in the cold wearing boots.
I'm a nerd.
Two Rams.
So high5.org for that one. And thank you again to everybody who supports myself as well on Patreon.
Well, thanks to everybody who supports Patreon for DTNS as well. DailyTechNewsShow.com/support is a great way to find out all the ways you can support the show. If you like gear, and especially if you like hats, but we got all sorts of stuff in there, check out our store. DailyTechNewsShow.com/store is where you can find out more about what to buy the person you love most in life. Mm. And even if that's you, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Lots of different sizes and shapes. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We love your feedback, questions, comments, anything. Keep them coming. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. And you can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back on Monday with Lamar Wilson and hopefully me not in a car. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation.
Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.